because, came to rest at this loving retreat, I was able to find my poor daughter and stop her from committing suicide. Thanks be to divine providence. Unable to restrain my desire to learn, I asked, "But how did you find her, my sister?" "In a dream," answered the kindly old lady. "My Dalva was widowed 3 years ago, and 11 months ago I too left her alone by discarnating. The poor thing couldn't bear her suffering as she should, and she allowed herself to fall into the clutches of malevolent spirits who were plotting her ruin. I approached her during the day, but my efforts were useless. With her mind absorbed in business and material complications, she couldn't feel my influence. I needed to meet with her at night, but that was not easy because I'm not spiritually evolved enough to operate alone, and the group I serve couldn't spend an entire night on Earth to help me out. It was then that a friend brought me to this Nosalar auxiliary. I was able to act with the groups involved in its ongoing work, and was helped by untiring workers for the good." "And were you able to achieve your purpose easily?" asked Vicente. "Thanks be to Jesus," answered the woman, showing enormous happiness. "Now I know my daughter has received my loving suggestions, and I'm sure she will heed my requests." "Listen, my friend," I asked, "are there many Nosalar workshops like this one?" "From what I've been told, there are quite a few of them in the corporeal realm. They represent other spirit colonies not only here but also in other cities of Brazil. In these centers, there are always advanced opportunities that are indispensable for outfitting us for the struggle." 240. At that moment, we were greeted by two fellow spirits, with whom we had spoken during the night and who had aroused our sincere affinity. "What?" I asked, "leaving so soon?" "We're going to work," one of them answered. "Tonight there will be a gospel study, and we have to help our ignorant and suffering brothers and sisters who are capable of coming here." "There's that sort of job too?" I asked, amazed. "Why not, my friend? Jesus himself said centuries ago that the harvest is great. There is work for everyone. And you must realize that this Christian assistance workshop has been functioning non-stop for nearly 20 years. But have you yourselves been here since it was first founded?" He quickly explained, "No. There are many like us who do an internship here. Only a few of Isidra and Isabel's workers have been stationed here since the beginning of the institution. The rest of us do not work here for more than 2 years. A workshop like this one is always an active and holy school, and those who have a spirit of goodwill should not miss out on the chance to learn." "Forgive me for asking so many questions," I replied, "but I'd like to know if you are the only ones with the skills needed for recruiting those who are ignorant and suffering in order for them to be instructed and consoled." "No. Hildegardo and I are assistants for only a few blocks in the city. There are many, many co-workers in this line of help." Just then, one of the brothers, who seemed to be a member of the place's guidance group, approached and addressed our friend, "Vieira, I suggest that you and Hildegardo observe our doctrinal criterion more carefully. It would be useless to bring vagrant or untrustworthy spirits to this place simply because you feel personally sympathetic toward them. We cannot waste time on sneering and lazy spirits, nor on those who come here with certain intentions of a lower nature. There will be no lack of Jesus' provisions for these people elsewhere. Remember that. It's not a lack of charity, it's an understanding of duty. We have a very serious work to do in the evangelization and aid program, and we cannot misuse what has been granted by our superiors of higher spirituality. Those who accept a commitment are held responsible for it. No matter how much you love a lazy or sarcastic spirit, don't give it any leeway. Help it privately when you have the time and opportunity. But don't drag the group into its problems. Don't forget that there are certain task centers for those who are intentionally deaf and blind." Vieira and his colleague became very pale and didn't say a word. When their calm and alert guide left, Vieira explained, "Downcast, we've been justly admonished. And because he saw that we were eager to learn, he respectfully continued, 'Unfortunately, Hildegardo and I have some discarnate relatives in distressing spiritual situations. We brought my uncle Hilario and cousin Carlos to the last meeting, even though we knew that because of their disrespect for the divine laws in the inferior environment in which they live, neither of them was prepared for serious reflection. However, they both seemed so eager for renewal that we listened to personal sympathy, forgetting the need for proper preparation. They came with us and sat among the many listeners. But in the middle of the gospel study they tried to take over Sister Isabel's mediumistic faculties in order to transmit a message of less uplifting content. Sensing our vigilance and surprised by the co-workers of this sanctified auxiliary, they rebelled and created a great disturbance. If it hadn't been for the magnetic barriers of the guard service, they would have caused very serious harm. The meeting was thus less fruitful because of the great waste of time. Well, naturally we were held responsible. My God! Exclaimed Vicente, amazed, what a new lesson. Ah, yes, my friend, replied Vieira, resigned. Here we must not misuse love like we do in the corporeal realm. No one is forbidden to help, to want the good, to intercede. We can all assist those we love with the resources that are appropriate, but the word duty has a positive meaning here for those who wish to walk sincerely toward God. Heading to the countryside. Almost all the spirit workers were leaving the house on their way to their assorted tasks. Only a few friends involved with missions of aid and vigilance remained at Doña Isabel's residence. I noticed that Aniceto continued to give out various instructions, confidentially addressing certain co-workers regarding the mission that Telesfora had entrusted to him. Just before noon, however, he invited us to accompany him. In this workshop, he said, we can find vital renewal of our strength for our work. We receive reinforcements of energy, and this provides us with the nourishment needed to continue our efforts. But I'll have to say that, for many of us, last night was a series of long, exhausting activities. We need some rest. We'll return at dusk. Where were we going? I didn't know. Remembered that, even though some had actually rested in the home sanctuary. During the night, most had worked intensely, and I concluded that if in the morning many had headed for their duties, others had sought needed repose. Where are you headed? Asked a security guard who had become our friend. Before we could answer, Aniceto replied, to the countryside. And specifically to Vicente and me, he remarked, let's use Velitation, since we have no immediate plans in the center of the city. I noticed that it was now easier for me to use my ability to Velitate. The learning excursion with its stop at the Campo de Paz aid station had done me much good. My training had improved. I felt strong enough to face vibrations of a lower order, and I had no problem mobilizing my resources. I also noticed that my visual abilities were growing appreciably. Up to that point, I had not noticed what I was now very surprised to observe while validating. Before, I had seen only people, animals, vehicles and buildings anchored to the ground. Now, my seeing abilities were expanding. From afar, I recognized the considerable weight of the air that was clinging to the surface. I had the impression that we were swimming in the upper zone of a sea of oxygen as I saw down below in roiled waters a huge number of brothers and sisters plodding along, burdened with heavy diving gear in the muddy depths of the ocean. Do you see those dark stains on the public street? Asked our guide, noticing our amazement and our increasing desire to learn. Since we didn't know what they were exactly, he continued to explain, those are clouds of various kinds of bacteria. They float around in compact groups in obedience to the principle of affinity. Look at those arabesques of shadow. And he pointed out certain buildings and areas of the city. Notice the large grayish or completely dark areas. Those are zones of inferior mental matter, matter that is continually emitted by a certain class of people. If we were to take more time with our investigation, we would also see monsters that plod along behind certain people, attracted by them. Giving a serious tone to his words, he remarked, humans are attacked not only by such clouds of bacteria, which are destructive to physical life, but by perverse forms of the darkness, which threaten their mental balance. As you can see, the watch and pray of the gospel has profound importance in every situation at any time. Only people with positive mentalities in the realm of higher spirituality can overcome the multiple influences of a lower nature. Wanting a fuller explanation, I asked, but does the mental matter emitted by less evolved people have a life of its own, like the nuclei of microscopic corpuscles from which bodily illnesses spring? Our kind mentor smiled curiously and replied, "Why wouldn't it? By now, you are aware of the fact that people live in a psychophysical body. We cannot consider just the physiological situation per se in the realm of diseases. We also have to consider the psychic condition of the incarnate personality. You see, just as a cloud of bacteria is produced by a sick body, a cloud of mental larvae is produced by a sick mind under the same circumstances. So in the realm of individuals who are unaware of spiritual resources, souls as well as bodies become ill. That is why in the future the medicine of the soul will absorb the medicine of the body. Currently on Earth we can provide treatment for the physical organism. Such a task makes the mission of comfort, instruction and relief a worthy one, but as far as real healing is concerned, we must realize that this belongs exclusively to the spirit itself." 247. "My God!" exclaimed Vicente. "What dangers the ordinary human has to face." "This is why," replied Anicito, "terrestrial existence is a glorious opportunity for those who are interested in knowledge and self-elevation. And for this same reason we teach the need for religious faith among human beings. In carrying out this campaign, we do not plan to intensify the disastrous passions of sectarianism, but to create a positive state of trust, optimism and healthy vitality in the mind of each incarnate spirit. Until now, only faith has been able to provide this realization. Sciences and philosophies have paved the way, but the faith that conquers death is the vital seed. Possessing its eternal qualities, humans find enough spiritual dynamism to fight until they have achieved a full victory over themselves." Understanding that he needed to finish his explanation, he stated after a longer pause, "We all need to know how to emit vibrations and how to receive them. To reach a position of balance in this situation, incarnate men and women, as well as we ourselves, are engaged in a constant struggle. And since we already know something about eternity, we must not forget that every failure jeopardizes achievement, and every noble effort invariably helps it." These explanations could not have been clearer. However, I was disconcerted by that vision of streets filled with sluggishly moving dark spots, affecting both humans and machines on the public avenues. Thirsty for knowledge, I returned to the subject. "This lesson has incalculable value for me. And when I think of the high reproductive power of microbial flora." Anicito did not let me finish. Knowing my natural question beforehand, he interrupted, "Yes, Andre, had it not been for the much greater power of the sun's light, coupled with Earth's magnetism, a power which intensely destroys in order to select life's manifestations on the Earth's surface, microbial flora of a lower order would not have allowed the existence of a single person on the face of the earth. That is why the soil and plants are filled with curative and transforming properties." And nodding his head expressively, he concluded, "In spite of the immense power of this divine resource, as long as humans, the heirs of God, cultivate the lower realms of life, there will also be lower creations in sufficient number for the truceless battle that the authentic qualities of evolution must win." Headline: Amongst the Trees. A few minutes later we arrived at a small rural property populated by a welcoming grove of trees. There were orange trees in bloom as far as the eye could see. Banana plants were spread out like fans, while from afar the guava grove looked like a robust patch of greenery. The soft grass invited rest, and a calm breeze was blowing lightly, whispering something through the leaves. Anicito gulped in long, deep breaths and said, "Although they don't get tired like incarnates, discarnates cannot go without a rest break. Our nighttime operations are usually hectic and laborious. Only about a third of our fellow spirits involved in service on the earth remain active during the day. And noticing our curiosity, he added, "'Tis only reasonable that it be that way. Daytime belongs more appropriately to the work of incarnate spirits. People have to learn to act, bearing witness to their understanding of the divine laws. For a few hours, at least, they should be left more alone with their own experiences. For humans, one day and night comprises a page in the book of their life. Most of the time they write their daily page alone with the ink of their own sentiments in words, thoughts, intentions and actions, and then in the overleaf, that is, in nighttime reflection, we help them to correct and adjust their experiences as the Lord allows it." Anicetto fell silent and we focused our attention exclusively on the beauty surrounding us. That friendly and welcoming countryside was characterized by a highly diverse environment. There were no more heavy emanations from the big city, but a light breeze scented with the most pleasant fragrances. I was reflecting on the goodness of the Lord, who had provided us with new resources, when Anicetto spoke again, "Nature is never the same in any two places. There are no two spots on earth with climates exactly alike. Each hill, each valley, has different climatic characteristics. We must realize, though, that under any circumstance involving incarnates, the countryside is a most abundant and vigorous reservoir of vital principles. Generally, all of us spirit workers appreciate the morning air when the atmosphere is also at rest and devoid of dust balls that have been converted into microscopic balloons of bacteria and other lower life forms. However, last night's work did not let us rest any sooner. We leaned back into the velvety grass, and perceiving our thirst for knowledge, Anicetto continued, "What I mean is, the emanations in a forest are very dense because that environment is rather impenetrable to the wind. There, the air usually becomes a suffocating element because of the excessive emissions from the lower kingdoms of nature. Likewise, in the city the atmosphere is compact and the air is also suffocating because of the mentally dense emanations of the lower groups of humans. That is why in the country we have the ideal place." Joyfully pointing to the swaying foliage, he added, "Here the relatively balanced peace of nature reigns. There is neither the wildness of the virgin forest nor the suffocation of human fluids. The countryside is our bounteous main path, our earthly harmony, our desirable rest. Sheltered delightfully in nature's temple, we rested for a few hours to the coos of a few solitary doves. With the first hues of twilight, Anicetto invited us for a quick walk around the vicinity. I realized that we were feeling much more filled with life. Only after we had walked around for a few minutes did I notice that there were a large number of spirit workers in the neighboring areas. Anicetto perceived my questions and explained, "The countryside is also a vast workshop for our effective work as a group." And pointing to the workers as they came and went, he commented, "The vegetable kingdom has many, many co-workers. You probably didn't know that many brothers and sisters are preparing themselves to deserve a new incarnation in the world by offering their services to the lower kingdoms. Work with the Lord is a living school wherever we may be." At that moment our attention was attracted by a commotion on the nearby road. We headed in that direction, following Anicetto, who seemed to have guessed what was going on. I witnessed an amazing scene. A man was lying on the ground in a pool of blood next to a small cart pulled by a mule that was showing signs of great agitation. Two incarnates were hastily providing first aid to the wounded man. "We need to get him back to the farm right now," said one of them, distressed. "I'm afraid his skull is fractured." The number of discarnates helping the small group was very large, however. A spirit friend who looked like the leader of the group welcomed us with respect and kindness, and explained what had happened. The cart driver had been kicked by the mule and they had to rescue him. When the situation calmed down, this hierarchical superior called to a road guard and asked him, "Glycerio, how could you let something like this happen? This section of the road is under your direct responsibility." The subordinate replied respectfully, "I did everything I could to save him. He has a wife and kids. but my efforts were futile because of his recklessness. For a long time I have been trying to surround him with care whenever he passed this way. However, the wretch doesn't have the least respect for the natural gifts of God. He is unspeakably cruel to the animals that help him earn his pay. All he knows how to do is to yell at them, get angry at them, and beat them. His mind is closed to suggestions of gratitude. He respects only profanity and a whip. Today, he harassed and punished the poor mule so much that he looked more like an animal himself. When he nearly went out of his mind because of so much fury and ingratitude, my helper's spirit was no longer effective. Tormented by his driver's outbursts of anger, the poor mule kicked him in the head. What else could I have done? I fulfilled my duty. His superior, who had been listening attentively to his allegations, replied without hesitation, "You are right." And since he was looking to Anicetus for approval, our guide affirmed, "Let's help this man as much as we can and fulfill our duty to the good, but let's not miss the lesson here. This imprudent worker has punished himself. Anger is punished by its consequences. Evil follows evil. If animals, our brothers and sisters in the great home of life, provide us with the worth of their service, we, in turn, should give them the worth of education. But people cannot educate if they hate, nor can they build anything useful with fury and brutality." And pointing to the group that was taking the wounded man to a nearby house, he calmly concluded, "As an ordinary man, our poor friend will suffer for many days, confined to his bed, amidst the afflictions of his family members. It will take him quite a while to recover his organic balance. As an eternal spirit, however, he has received a useful and much needed lesson." Greatly surprised, I observed our guide's serenity and began to understand that no one disrespects nature without the underscore painful blow of retribution. Headline: The word in a rural setting. Now that the explanation regarding the unpleasant incident had ended, the hierarchical superior of that larger team of spirit workers asked our guide, "Anicetus, we would like to make the most of your presence. Would you mind giving us a scripture lesson, now that the day is almost over?" Anicetus readily agreed. I noticed that everyone was very much interested. I was greatly surprised to see the farm workers bring our esteemed mentor a book, which I had no trouble identifying. It was a copy of the New Testament. Anicetus opened it confidently, as if he knew exactly where to find the appropriate passage. He gazed at the page he had chosen and began to meditate. A sublime light began to halo his head. There was profound silence as all the co-workers showed great anticipation for what Anicetus would say to them. Everything in nature seemed majestic and peaceful. A herd of cattle had approached us, attracted by magnetic energies beyond my understanding. Even a few humble mules had arrived from afar, and the birds had settled down in the dense foliage without making a peep. The only sound to be heard was the light, soft voice of the wind whispering harmony and freshness. Dressed in the liquid gold of the sunset, the landscape could not have been more beautiful. Except for the natural rusticity of our colorful surroundings, the setting brought back fond memories of the green halls of Nosola. Anicetus gazed intently at a passage in the sacred book and read aloud Romans 8:19-21, "For the creation earnestly waits in expectation for the manifestation of the children of God. For the creature became subject to pride, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in the hopes that the creation itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption and brought into the glorious liberty of the children of God." He then reflected for a few instants and then began with noticeable inspiration, "Brothers and sisters, let us receive the blessing of the countryside, praising the love and wisdom of our Father. Let us extol the Supreme Spirit of life, which breathes into us the eternal power of unending renewal. Let us ponder these words of the Apostle to the Gentiles in order to grasp their divine content. Nature has been waiting for millennia for humans to begin to comprehend. It has not been nourished with hope alone, however, it has been living in ardent expectation, waiting for the understanding and help of spirits incarnating on earth, that is, the children of God. Meanwhile, The forces of nature continue to suffer the oppression of human pride. However, my friends, this occurs because the Lord also holds out hope for the deliverance of beings enslaved on earth, so that freedom in the glory of men and women may also occur. I know your sacrifices intimately, you selfless spirit workers on earthly soil. As is the case in many other areas of the planet, many of you have remained here in order to help your incarnate fellow spirits, who are chained to the illusion of material gain. How many times has your help been converted into exploitation in the realm of earthly matters? Most of Earth's caretakers demand everything but offer nothing in return. While you carefully oversee the maintenance of the fundamentals of life, you have seen civilization acting like a powerful threshing machine. You have seen men and women, our brothers and sisters, turning themselves into little molochs of bread, meat and wine, completely immersed in vices of the sentiments and excesses of food, unconcerned about their huge debt to nature, so loving and generous. They oppress the creatures of the lower kingdoms, harm the beneficial energies of life, show ingratitude for the sources of the good, and mind their rural industries more out of pride and ambition for gain than out of the spirit of love and usefulness. They are nothing more than the unfortunate servants of harried passions. They draw up deceitful plans to gain riches that lead them to their ruin. They write treatises on economic policies that result in destructive wars. They develop commerce for unfair gain, reaping international turmoil leading to poverty. They dominate the weak and exploit them, but they themselves awaken soon afterward amongst monsters of hatred. It is to them, our incarnate friends, that we must turn our attention with a spirit of tolerance and fraternity. Let us continue to help them now and forever. Let us not forget that the Lord holds out hope for their future. Let us listen to the cries of creation as it pleads for the light of human reason, but also, let us not forget the tears of these slaves to corruption, among whose ranks we ourselves were members until yesterday, helping them to awaken to divine consciousness for life eternal. Even though they are encircled by their pride and insolence, we will continue to help them, nonetheless. The Lord grants an increase in evolutionary progress to self-sacrificing souls. He will not forget the productive tree or the slaughtered animal, the humble being that has consumed for the benefit of another. As for us, let us work to awaken our brothers and sisters concerning our debt to Mother Nature. Whenever we return to reincarnate, surrounding ourselves in the fluids of the physical realm, we always exaggerate our intake of nitrogen. We convert into a worldwide tragedy what might otherwise comprise a serene and edifying pursuit. As we know, no organism on Earth can live without nitrogen, and although humans move within an ocean of it, inhaling an average of 1,000 liters per day, they, like all other living beings on the planet, cannot assimilate the nitrogen in the air. Unlike ordinary oxygen, for the time being, the Lord does not allow for the creation of cells in the living organisms of our world that have the ability to spontaneously absorb this extremely important life-sustaining element. Only plants, those untiring workers of the planet, can draw it from the soil, thereby securing it to enhance the lives of other beings. Each grain of wheat is a nitrogenated blessing for sustaining living beings. Each piece of fruit from the earth is a container of sugar and albumin, full of the nitrogen indispensable to the organic balance of living beings. In essence, all the farming and ranching industries represent nothing more than the organized and methodical pursuit of this precious element of life. If humans could only utilize approximately 10 grams of the 1,000 liters of nitrogen they breathe daily, the earth would be transformed into a truly spiritual paradise. But if the Lord has given us much, it is reasonable for Him to demand the collaboration of our own efforts in constructing our happiness. Even in Nosola we are still far from the great ability to nourish ourselves spontaneously and completely with atmospheric energies. Moreover, my friends, humans have transformed the quest for nitrogen into an activity of frenzied passion, hurting and being hurt, offending and being offended, enslaving and becoming slaves, segregated in dense darkness. Let us help them to understand in order to implement a new age. Let us help them to love the earth instead of wantonly exploiting it, and to value the work of animals without slaughtering them. When that finally comes to pass, the slaughterhouse will be converted into a place of cooperation, where people will help lower beings and where these in turn will meet the needs of humans, and trees will live amidst the respect that is due them.